And good morning. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, and you are tuned in at a very special time because our regular Monday host from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m., Glenn Coble with A Progressive Life, is on the road doing a live show today from sunny, beautiful California. So we're going to turn it over to Glenn out in beautiful California. Glenn, go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Scott. We are in California, but I'm going to back that up just a touch. It's not sunny. We're close enough to the coast that in the morning, I guess from what my son tells me, in the morning, the weather in June is kind of overcast in the morning, and then it burns off, and it's beautiful in the afternoon. We had a wonderful trip out here with the exception of a breakdown on the first day. So what I thought I'd do today is I thought I would give you my version of a Charles Kuralt travel log and tell you how we got out here and what we've seen and what we've done. And I hope you don't mind. It won't be terribly political. I do want to touch on the fact that I have finally finished the Mueller report. It's a long report, but you need to read it. And if you can't read it, PBS now has a 30-minute program that you can go to YouTube or go to PBS, and it's kind of an abridged version of the Mueller report, and it's pretty good. I don't think it's as hard-hitting as actually I felt the Mueller report was, but it will give you the facts so that when somebody comes up to you and you're defending the Mueller report, you can know what you're talking about as opposed to all the talking points that you hear, both pro and con, about the Mueller report. In my finishing my reading and of the report, I am absolutely convinced the report is an honest report. I'm absolutely convinced that it shows that there was culpability of this administration of obstruction of justice. For a matter of fact, it pretty much points out that there was an awful lot of crud that was going on. Anyway, that's about all I'm going to say about the about politics today, because we had a wonderful trip on our way out here. It started out a little rough, cost me a little bit of money with the breakdown on the first day. We actually fell behind one day because we had to have some repairs done to the car and some new tires and stuff that we thought we had taken care of when we left, but it didn't work out. So we spent the first night in Brazil, Indiana. Now, Brazil, Indiana, you may have heard that name before, and the reason why is because they're one of three cities that has a popcorn festival. As a matter of fact, their popcorn festival is exactly at the same time, or at least this past year was exactly at the same time that our popcorn festival is. Brazil, I believe, is where Orville Redenbacher was born, and that's why they have the popcorn festival. The other two places, of course, are Marion and Valparaiso, Indiana, which is kind of my hometown. Having lived in 21 different houses, it's pretty hard to actually pinpoint where my hometown is. Anyway, we got through that, and I still have that cough. Made it through the next day. We had to drive through St. Louis. We actually missed most of downtown St. Louis. Kind of scary driving around St. Louis during rush hour, which we were. And we spent that night outside of St. Louis, the second night. Drove across, we got across Illinois to Missouri. Drove across Missouri. Missouri is, we found out one thing while we were driving. The states that have a predominant Republican government have terrible roads. Those that have a predominantly Democratic government seem to have better roads. maybe it was just a coincidence, but that's what it seemed. And as we drove across Missouri, the roads weren't so good, but I got to drive by Fort Leonard Woods, which is where I spent 9 or 10 weeks doing my basic training when I was getting ready to do my service to the government. And it's a pretty big area, lots of motels and lots of restaurants in the area. You don't really see the fort. You don't get close enough to see it. But as we drove by, I waved. And it was a fairly pleasant day, but it just went on and on and on through Missouri. We got down to, I think it was Oklahoma briefly, went through Oklahoma, drove down to Arkansas to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And we spent the night there. We went that route to avoid there are toll roads in I think Missouri and Oklahoma, and that our MapQuest told us that was the way to go and avoid the toll roads. Now, it was also a way that I could see territory that I hadn't seen in a long time. My wife had never been to Arkansas, gave her a chance to see what Arkansas was all about. It's a beautiful state. Lots of hills. I think the Ozark Mountains, I believe. Lots of trees. I was kind of surprised. When I had been in Arkansas, I had been with the Army Field Band, and we had done some concerts in Arkansas, and that was all done in major-sized cities. So, a Little Rock and so forth, but we got to see the outer part of Arkansas where the big cities weren't, and drive. It was actually quite stunning. Some of the beauty of the mountainous area, it looked a lot like West Virginia, and I'm sure you all know what West Virginia looks like. It was not quite as up and down as West Virginia. West Virginia, when you go the toll road, there's lots of up and down on that road. There is up and down, but it's more rolling up and down. But there are mountains like that, and there are trees like that. And kind of enjoyed it. My wife does not like going up and down on mountains. We enjoyed it. Then we went across, got into Texas, and spent a night in Amarillo, Texas, which was pleasant because the scenery was so different. We had gotten down to where the weather was warm and the foliage was different. Got to start to see a little bit of tumbleweed, and that's kind of fun. And then drove across to Albuquerque. New Mexico, and the neat part about that was that once you hit New Mexico and Arizona, the terrain completely changes. It gets pretty flat in New Mexico, and it definitely goes from green to brown. But it's in the spring, so there is a kind of a haze of green laying on the tumbleweed and whatever is out there. The buildings and the housing and that sort of thing goes to kind of rough looking. There are a lot more adobe buildings, and there are a lot more trailers out on Route 40. Now, I'm sure as you get, there are beautiful cities in New Mexico, and I don't want to ever say there aren't beautiful cities there. I have gone to several, especially along the border. My brother-in-law lived in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and down there the city is beautiful. It's bleak is the word that pops in my head, but bleak is not quite the word. It's very dry and very sandy, I guess is the best word. As a matter of fact, if you'll recall, some of you are nearly as old as I am, you'll recall all the atom bomb testing and stuff like that that went on down at the White Sands Proving Ground. And that was an area that we didn't go through, but I know it is down south there, and that makes New Mexico quite an interesting state. The Charles Kuralt, I am not, and I understand that. And this trip through the Southwest is probably a little rougher than he would have done. And I don't have any visuals to give you over the radio. As a matter of fact, while I'm talking about the radio, I just wanted to jump in. Scott and I were talking before I came on the air about the shutting down, or whatever you would call it, of the Jeff Ruth program and the on the other on one of the other radio stations in town. And the thing that bothers me about that, Jeff is a great friend, and I wish Jeff the greatest of luck, and I know he deserves to have the break that I've been given of retirement. I wish him well. I hope that the listeners that used to listen in the morning to get a little bit of local flavor over that station will then turn to us, because everybody on our station, WWGH 107.1, almost everyone is local or at least from Ohio, and you will get a lot of flavor of the Marion area, and I hope we can bring that to you. So, anyway, enough standing on my soapbox about I've been a radio fan all my life. I started when I was in college. I used to write radio plays. I used to write a show called Power Prof. It was all about a professor who had unique powers that he could lord over his students. But anyway, Power Prof was the beginning of my radio, and I love doing radio. I've done broadcasting, I've done newscasting, I've done sportscasting a lot. And I hope you join GH now for your morning local news. Back to the not-so-Charles Kuralt travelogue. We went across one of the things you have to remember if you're going across New Mexico and Arizona, especially across the northern tier, where we did. We went from Albuquerque to, I forget the name of the town. It's past Flagstaff. But anyway, if you're going across the northern tier of Arizona and New Mexico, take a porta potty with you. There are no places to stop. Also, it might not be a bad idea to fill up with gas before you get to the area, because once you get to Arizona, the gas jumps above $3. And once you get to California, it isn't as bad as the last time we came out here, but it's $3.50, $3.60 a gallon. Which is kind of a shock when you've been paying $2.29 or $2.49 even to jump up well over a dollar at some places. I remember the last time we drove to California about a year and a half ago, we hit Needles, California. Needles is probably the first city you'll see if you're driving across Route 40. We hit Needles, and the cost of gas went from like $2.99 to $4.09 a gallon, and it's quite shocking. But on the way across Arizona, it's kind of fun because you get to an area that starts to get a little bit more mountainous. Well, quite a bit more mountainous. It's not mountainous like they're continuous mountains. It's mountainous like a mountain pops up out of nowhere, and they're beautiful. But the road has to go around it. They don't drive, go through the road or go through the mountain. But it's kind of dark, the mountains. But there, then you get to this one area that's just south of the Grand Canyon. It's Williams, I believe, is the name of the town. And we spent the night there about the last time we went, but we didn't this time. In that area, the mountainous gets real lush again. It turns, there's lots of green trees and stuff like that. And meanwhile, you're going up and down. You're going above a mile high. So if you have any altitude sickness, you will notice it. It doesn't get as high as the northern route, which we took back last time, the northern route that goes up through Colorado and that sort of thing. I think we got up as high as 14,000 feet, I believe. That's almost 3 miles, and it was uncomfortable for both my wife and myself. Anyway, this trip we did, we took the southern route across and got to California. And California is an interesting state. It has just about everything you can imagine in it, from desert to lush tropical foliage to if you go up north, it has kind of it's rainy way up north to some degree. It's a little cooler. It's really warm down south. But anyway, we drove across almost on the same latitude as Los Angeles. But we've learned the first time we came this way, we drove right through Los Angeles. Well, let me tell you, driving through Los Angeles and then up Route 1, I believe it was, can be quite an experience. Let's just leave it at that. Lots of traffic, and in California, there are no rules. There isn't a law against motorcycles driving between the cars on the highway. So, if you're in your car lane and there's a car next to you, don't open the door because you may open it right on a motorcycle going between you and the other car. It's beautiful driving up that route because you get to look out over the ocean all the time. But it may take you about 5 or 6 hours to go 1 hour's worth of travel. It won't take that long. But we did have a time on the way out where there was an accident that actually shut down the highway in Arizona for 2.5 hours, which really caused us to be a little late to our last night's stay. We stayed in and I'm not going to give a commercial, but we stayed in a fairly inexpensive motel chain, which was absolutely fine because, like they say in their commercial, all you see when the lights go off or the dark, you know, when you go to bed, is the dark of the room, and that's all we use the room for, is just a way station. Took our own breakfast cereal and peanut butter and bagels and had that for breakfast and moved on each morning. Anyway, we got out here to Ojai. Ojai, California is north of Los Angeles, about an hour and a half, I guess. And excuse me, I had to turn away because there was a car coming right at me. It was in the neighbor's driveway. Anyway, when we Ohio is about an hour and a half north of Los Angeles. There's a lot of Los Angeles influence in Ohio, it seems to be. And it's a beautiful location. It's right in the mountains. I'd guess 10 miles from the ocean, from the Pacific. It's a home of many celebrities. There isn't a house. We look at housing in the area because I'd love to live out here. There are very few houses under $500,000. And that's not because they're giant mansions. My house in Ojai would cost $300,000, $250,000. That's well over twice what it costs in Marion, or what it's worth in Marion. But it's so beautiful, and it's kind of interesting. The people out here are a little bit different in their lifestyles. It seems like there are a lot of people that get out and about, whereas like in Marion, you don't see people bicycling all the time. You may see one or two, but they look like they're exhausted and they're cold and they want to go home. In Ojai, they look like they're fit and ready to hit the day, you know, and it's beautiful. I love that sort of attitude that they, at least in Ojai, that they have. My son lives on the vineyard. It's his father-in-law's vineyard, and he lives with his wife, and it's kind of a compound. He lives with his wife in one building, and his brother-in-law lives in another building, and his mother and father live in the third building, the big house. And right now I'm looking at 2 acres of tall and very vigorous grape growth in the vineyard. They've had a lot of rain this year, so the foliage is quite full. And that's something that I watched my son take care of the other day. He was trimming it back, so it was so full that some of the lower leaves were not getting sun, so he had to trim it back, and he had to tie back the tendrils that were going up, to trim some of them off. And when I started the show, I was watching a couple of little rabbits eating the leaves that he had snipped off from the bottom, and they were enjoying that quite a bit. But everything is green. It's absolutely gorgeous. There are some very small grapes starting to appear and fill out on the grapevines. In the middle of the vineyard is a giant, I think they call it California living oak. I think that's what my daughter-in-law told me it was called. I may have messed that up, but it's a beautiful, I mean, gorgeous tree. The reason why the tree is so beautiful, it's very tall, and its limbs go off in kind of a wavy form. They aren't perfectly straight, but they kind of dip down and rise back up. Perfect home for the crows that squawk at us, but also to the left of that giant oak in the middle of the vineyard, they've put an owl house, and there are owls living in it. And I have I have a problem with my ears in that I have a ringing in my ears, so I can't hear the baby owls, but my wife and the family tells me that they're all squealing inside the owl house. Now, I have heard Mommy and Papa owl. We walked over by the owl house, and they screamed at us so loudly, it scared me. I thought they were going to come out and go for my face. It was really loud, and she didn't want us around her little babies. So that was kind of fun. And that giant oak that's out in the middle of the vineyard is a part of the, well, is the basis of their name, Majestic Oak Vineyard. Not to be confused with Majestic Oak Winery, which is in Ohio. But if you go to their website, you can see all these, you can see the vineyard and you can see the giant oak. But it's part of their label. It's the main part of their label is the giant oak tree in the middle. Absolutely beautiful label. I encourage you to go to their website and just take a look at it. I'm not trying to sell anything here. Just to see what I'm talking about, see what the vineyard looks like. And recently this year, they took on 10 more acres of grapevines, a little north of here, up by, I knew I'd forget the name of the place. Anyway, it's north of here, and here I have a magazine sitting right across from me, which tells me what the name is, Santa Ynez Valley. Up there, there's everywhere you look, there are grapevines. This whole area has acres and acres and acres and acres of grapevines, and there is also some citrus fruit on the hillsides. If I look behind me, which I cannot because there's a house in the way, I happen to be sitting on the porch of my son and daughter-in-law's home, but behind us is this giant mountain that just juts up out of nowhere. It seems like, well, not out of nowhere, there's a whole long chain of it. And if you'll remember the fire that they had out here, it's named after the school that's in the area. It was the largest fire that Ohio had, or that California had had, a forest fire. It surrounded this city. They kind of had to get out of here. But when we came here last year, you can see the fire scarring all over the place, but it's all turned green. It's gone away, the scarring, and it's a beautiful beautiful mountain again. Just trying to remember what I was going to say about the fire scarring, but it doesn't stay permanently. It is part of nature. It's part of the way that things continue to grow. And Solvang, by the way, was the name of the city that I was going to say. My son happens to be up there right now picking up several tons of grapes. And we had a great time two days ago. Well, not such a great time. We did some work in the their winery. I helped bottle, I think I helped bottle 40 some cases of Pinot Noir. I believe that's the way you pronounce the name. I'm learning about wine. My wife and I have never been big wine fans, but we are learning. So he gave us a lesson. He's given us several lessons about wine. But we sat out on the porch of the winery, and he told us what to taste for. He showed us what to look for. It was great fun to do that. The clarity of the wine, you know, looking through it, and it's crystal clear. If it isn't crystal clear, he has to filter it, but it's crystal clear, and you can start to, after you think about it, you can start to taste the oak barrels that they're kept in. You can start to taste notes of of the oak, notes of the of strawberry, sweetness. You can taste if you, but you, it's kind of a thinking man's drink. You have to think your way through it, and these aren't cheap wines. I'm guessing they range anywhere from $15 to $70 a bottle. They're all hand done. And one of the things that he told me yesterday is one of the wines that they're going to do is a wine that they did not irrigate. It was not, the grapes were all grown naturally to the point where they did not even add water to. And there's a name for it. I don't, probably no water grapes or something, but the smells that you smell in the winery of all the different fruity smells that come up, and that's enhanced by the vegetation smells of the vineyard. But it's a beautiful place to be. Right now, I just watched a crow come over and say hello to another crow. There are all sorts of animals out here. My wife has gotten very familiar with a lizard that seems to pop up quite often when it's warm. My daughter-in-law told me it doesn't come out when it's cold. I guess I understand that. I don't like to go out when it's cold. Right now it's about, I'd guess, 65 degrees here. It's kind of cool morning. And that's pretty typical, they tell me, June in California, in this area, that it's kind of cool, overcast. The sun will come out. I'm looking forward to the sun coming up. But we're having a wonderful time out here. I can't tell you exactly when I'm going to get back, because we're not quite sure exactly when we're going to get back. We're going to go from California on the Pacific coast to North Carolina on the Atlantic coast, and go see my daughter. On the way back, we did not bring our RV, which would have been fun, but the gas mileage would have cost us so much, we would have had to go into Hawk. that I was telling you about going up north, where my son is right now picking up grapes. We went to a town called Solvang's, a beautiful, I think, Danish city, and all the architecture has that Tudor look to it, and it's one of the top tourist towns in California, which kind of surprised me, because it's so small and it's tucked away in the hills where all these vineyards are. It's a beautiful town, lots of tasting rooms, and that's one of the things that my son and daughter-in-law run, is a tasting room here in Ojai. People go in there, they pay $15, and they get to taste, I don't know, five different wines and find out which one they like and have conversation. I even put up on Facebook the other day, 2 days ago, it was on my Facebook page. They had a musician come in, or a couple of musicians come in and sing. It's a fun afternoon to sit there amongst a bunch of people enjoying some wine and listening to some good music. Music you don't hear in Marion, Ohio. It's kind of, I don't know the term, but I'm going to call it hippie music. It's kind of free-flowing music. The music was accompanied by, two men were singing, and they had guitars, and kind of stuff like I used to play, kind of folk music, like I used to play when I was young, and it was great remembrance for me. The problem I have when I go to show or things like that. It's, I always want to get back up on stage. I know that's kind of egotistical of me, but I did really enjoy playing when I was a musician. But I'm not any longer. I'm an old grandpa that drives around and goes to see his children and his grandchildren. So in Solvang, last time we were up here, we spent the night in Solvang, and it was a beautiful old hotel, old Danishly committed. It looked like an old Tudor home, but it was giant. And in the night, you could easily get with the different levels of heights in the hotel. I'm relatively certain it was some rich person's home in years gone by, but no longer. The views out over the valleys out here, long expanses of ups and downs, all covered in different shades of green. And that isn't always so, but during the spring it is. And if it has burned, it's not green anymore, as you would imagine. But it's still eerie how beautiful the rugged mountains and how beautiful, even when it was burned, it was something that those of us from Indiana and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan don't see. It's completely different. I'm looking forward to heading home. I like my friends and my sister-in-law who lives down the block and is watching our house for us. I enjoy my friends that I've known for years in Marion, and I miss my friends in Athens. So we'll be looking forward to getting home, but this trip is absolutely wonderful. I did get a chance, as many of you know, my son was an all-state basketball player, and for that matter, an all-state baseball player. And so when we come out here, each time we've come out here, we've had an opportunity to go see him play basketball. It's something his mother and I miss, seeing all three of our children who were all college athletes. We miss seeing them perform. So coming out here and watching Andrew play basketball, we spent the last 2 days was watching him play basketball. He's a little older, a tiny bit slower. He can't dunk anymore, I don't think, or at least we didn't see him dunk. He still can shoot the rock, and that was great fun to watch him play. One night, the first night we watched him, he scored, I think, 33 points for his team, which was probably half of the points the team scored. He's still a good scorer, good passer, and great fun to watch. One of the things the referee came over to my wife and I while the game was going on, or after the game was over, told us a story that he had heard about Andrew and LeBron. And the story was completely wrong. It had been embellished somewhere along the line. I don't know if you know this, but my son was on the same All-State team with LeBron. He was a senior when LeBron was a freshman. So there was a difference in age, obviously. But this referee, whose name also was Glenn, came over and told us that he had heard that Andrew played with LeBron and played against him and did something. So it was fun to go to that and set the referee straight. So we just absolutely enjoying the trip. I hope we don't have another shut down like we had on the way out here on our way back across the continent the continent. And we will drive carefully for those of you who care. I also really want to encourage those of you who are listening to this just, well, this is not my normal day. My normal day is Monday at 11:10, 11:15, whatever, whenever the news is over. But I encourage you to listen to more and more of WWGH at 107.1 FM. The reason why I encourage you is I think we need more local togetherness. We need to find ways to talk to each other, whether we're right wing, left wing, or right in the middle. I think we need to talk and listen to each other more. And I'll guarantee you on this radio station, you will hear a lot more local stuff than on any other station now. People that work this station are locally committed, and I'm proud to be a member of the crew, and I hope you can stay with us. I'm sure you will. While I'm sitting here watching the vineyard, I see a little hummingbird rolling by. They're everywhere. That and unfortunately, my son's kitty cat, who is a natural-born killer, occasionally brings us parts of an animal. So I don't think he can get to that hummingbird, though. That hummingbird's gone now, and they fly fast. You all seen hummingbirds in Marion, so you know what I'm talking about. But the plethora of animals out here. The first coyote I ever saw, it was out here. I know they're everywhere, but I had never seen one until we came to California. I hope you will join me next week. We will still be on the road. I will try to give you something more than a travelogue. Like I said earlier, Charles Kuralt, I am not. But I hope you will tune in, and we will try to give you more visual pictures. I'm looking right now between the oak tree and another oak tree. I'm looking at two giant palm trees. This is staring at me, waving in the wind, which there is none right now. It's pretty calm, and it's calm most mornings. There does happen to be an onshore breeze later in the day. But anyway, I hope you join me. This is my program is called A Progressive Life, and I hope you join me next week. Are you back with me, Scott?
I'm back with you, Glenn. Thanks for the show today, and have a safe trip back. Now, next week, you'll still be on the road, though, won't you?
I certainly will. Maybe for the next 2 weeks. It depends on the, yeah.
Well, we will make
sure to. Depends on what my wife says.
We'll make sure to follow your travels. Thanks for the call, Glenn.
Okay. Bye-bye, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming anywhere in the world at WWGH1071.com. Download the free TuneIn app to listen on any mobile device by searching WWGH. Back in about 15 minutes. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne. Marianne, what years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I can't ever think of a student that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, because Mary Ellen Withrow was in here last week, and we talked about Hillary, and she said one of the biggest obstacles she will face is because they're harder on women.
They certainly are.
Who get older than
yes.
men.
Yes.
Yeah. Hillary needs a new hairdo, though, I'll say that.
See, you would never say that about a man.
No.
You would never say a man needs a new hairdo.
And that upsets me, Charlie.
Yeah, why would you say
Hillary,
that?
Hillary, her hair isn't very creative.